All right, we're in 1 Kings 16, and it's not Azariah and Uzziah, it's Ahaz. And so we're going to look at Ahaz. Ahaz is the 12th king that's going to rule, and he's ruling in Judah. What's good is that Judah at least has four kings that are very good kings, have a heart for the Lord. But other than that, the majority of them follow the pattern of Ahaz here. And it's a sad thing. It's not without consequences. We're going to begin to see not only the consequences in an individual life, but the consequences that occur even in a nation. I think that we could look at our nation today and we could say, how in the heck did we ever get here? Well, when we want to do things our own way, and when we're smarter than God, and when we even deny that there is a God, and when God has no place, we separate God. We put these little compartments, in our lives that, God might be in my life Sunday morning or whatever, but he's not going to be in my life any other time. God can be in that part of our life, but he's not going to be in this part. Then we're in trouble. And so we're a nation that has forsaken the Lord. We're a nation much like Judah. We worship at the different places, the high places, we might say, in our nation. We worship recreation. We worship money. We worship leisure. We worship everything other than Jesus. And all these idols have replaced the Lord. And so when that happens, when we forsake the Lord as a person, we're in trouble. And there's going to be consequences. And life is not going to be fulfilling. It's not going to be successful. We're going to see Ahaz, and there's a number of these guys, they, in essence, die in their sins. And I don't think they're saved. I don't think that they are going to go to heaven. And then as their leaders, again, we look at the American family, how it's disintegrated, how it's been redefined, how it's no longer a man and a wife and kids, a man and a man, a woman and a woman, sometimes involving kids. And in certain places in our society where that the home is really made up of one parent. In many cases, I think over 50%, just a mom and kids, because the dads have taken off. And so you begin to see, the effects of what occurs when we forsake God and we leave God out of the picture, and God's no longer God. And so we find ourselves in a very chaotic, very dark time in America where the, my gosh. Now it's not even men's and women's restrooms. I want to be a woman today, so I'm going to go in the woman's restroom. That's how ludicrous things have become in our country. And so you go into these public arenas, whether it be a university or whether it be a city, park or whatever, and you could have your little girl in the restroom, and a guy could be coming in there because he decides he's a woman that day. And maybe he's decided before that, every day he's a woman, but it blows your mind. And on top of that, how about the pastor that is preaching from the pulpit, but he's also an employee I think for the city, was a city? Was it a city? I heard that and I didn't. Seems to me he's a city employee. And so they take his sermons and they digest them and they fire him because they don't like what he's teaching. I imagine he's teaching from the Bible. And so this is how, again, ridiculous things become. And again, what we mentioned last week, when we have the majority, even some of them calling themselves Christians, and some of their most proud moments in life are the votes that they have cast and the laws that they've enacted to murder babies. And Hillary Clinton, just a few weeks ago, that is the thing that she is most proud of, that she has voted 100% to murder babies. And then the guy she was debating, Bernie Sanders, he concurred and he actually tried to outdo, well, no, I've even done more than you to kill babies. I'm even prouder than you. And it's not Republican or Democrat. And you look at the people that are running under the Republican, I mean, some of them defend life. I mean, we're just lucky if they do that. I mean, it's sad how upside down, how goofy, how crazy, you know, our world is today. And so that's what we see here. Ultimately, God's gracious, and he's really patient. And he's really patient with Judah, and he's really patient with Israel. But there comes a time when God says, you know, it's like God says, enough's enough. And we're going to begin to see that today. Not just Ahaz, that he dies in this godless state, but the nation. God begins to discipline the nation. And the way he does it, he brings judgment. And the very things that they're doing, they end up being taken captive. And they find themselves slaves, and they find themselves in bondage. And they find themselves a nation that is being killed, taken into slavery, and dragged, you know, from their nation. And it's a sad thing. And so I was going to go to Chronicles, because I think Chronicles, we're doing 1 Kings 16, but we're going to do it from 2 Chronicles, because 2 Chronicles just adds a few things. 2 Chronicles 28, if you want to turn there. Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. So he was certainly old enough to know, certainly old enough that he's going to, you know, he's established himself in his way of life. And we're going to see that it's not a good thing. The choices he's made, the direction he's decided to go, is not good. And it's a very hard thing, I think. Again, when we think of what Jesus said, that if you want to follow me, but that way is a narrow way. It's narrow, it's restrictive. Few are walking that way. But the narrow way leads to life. And then Jesus goes on to say there's another way, and it's the broad way. There are a lot, the majority, I think, are walking the broad way. It's not restrictive at all. But it leads to death. And so Ahaz had that choice to make. I'm going to either walk and choose the narrow way. And to me, the narrow way is simply, I want to imitate Jesus. I want to follow Jesus. I want to be a disciple of Jesus. And to truly be a disciple of Jesus, I need to know who Jesus was, you know, what he said, and the lifestyle that he defined. This is how I'm going to choose to live. Well, I don't want that. I don't want this. I don't want anybody to tell me. And that's a lot of what we do. You know, I don't want God telling me what to do. And again, there's a lot of pressure, isn't there? Because nobody's doing it. Certainly nobody in the world's doing it. Most in the church aren't doing it. Caleb was telling me this week, he was looking at worship. We're trying to worship and music and so on. And we're trying to, make good decisions and be wise with, what we play in the radio and different things like that. And he's saying, Jeff, it's like the number one thing, right now? The Jesus call, is it Jesus culture? Yeah, Bethel Hill. And then you start looking at what they believe. If I'm wrong, just correct me. The pastor of the, it's in Redding, California, right? Redding, California. The pastor, his wife has some kind of divining rod. She uses a divining rod to conjure up the spirit of the ancient prophets so that she can prophesy. I mean, come on. You talk about demonic, but you don't read, there's, I'm a pastor and I can do whatever I want and this is right. I mean, that's demonic. There's nothing spiritual about that. But yet, thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people, the way is narrow and restrictive. God says, don't do that kind of stuff. Read Deuteronomy 18. Don't do it. What in the world are you talking about? God says that's an abomination. Do you realize that? God says that's an abomination. That I would purport to speak to spirits of dead people? Right? That's what she's doing, right? Yeah. Wow. What in the world is this? Well, it just shows you what happens when you forsake God and when you forsake God's word. God's way. And so he's 20 years old. He could have taken the narrow path. He could have chosen, to walk with the Lord. He desire the Lord and desire the Lord's way. I'm just willing to admit I'm ignorant and I'm really stupid and I will mess up anything I do on my own. And so I want to know what the Lord's way is. And I just want to do what he says. Again, these are the saddest words to me in the Bible, and just look at how they're repeated over and over. We've been through two whole books of the Bible, and if you took them, really, it's four whole books of the Bible, and the major thing in the whole thing is, and he did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord. And it's almost like as I read this over and over and over again, it's almost, it's a very conscious and it's a very like in your face saying, I'm just not going to do what the Lord says to do. We continue to go back, not that David was perfect, but David had a heart after God. He was a worshiper of God. He was revered as one who walked with God, not as his father David had done. He walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. Why does it say that? Because the kings of Israel, every single one of them was wicked. There wasn't one single king of the 20 that ruled in Israel that had a heart for the Lord. Not a single one. Every one of them was wicked. And he made molded images for the Baals. So he's making these places of idol worship, molding these idols. He burned incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom, right outside Jerusalem, the valley of Hinnom, the valley of it's also called Gehenna. It ultimately became the garbage dump of Jerusalem, and Jesus used it to depict hell. So he's worshiping, it's almost, he's worshiping God. And it's hellish. I mean, that's what it is. He's worshiping God here. He burned his children in the fire. Sacrificing is, what they would do is they would sacrifice the eldest son. They'd kill him. They'd put him, lay him on the arms of Moloch. But the thing is, the arms of Moloch would be heated up. I can't even imagine it. They'd burn their children alive. So that why? So the gods would accept them and make them prosperous. And so Ahaz, he burned his children in the fire according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. So they've taken on the world. Isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting that the church wants to always take on the world? And I've said this before. I think it's the saddest thing I want to be like the world. The church taking on the world and becoming like the world and thinking that we have to be the world so the world will come to us and so the world will be comfortable with us, so the world will accept us, so the world will befriend us. I was listening to a show going to Buffalo. And the statement that they were making, it's Christian radio station, Christian show. They had on there a pastor who resides in Portland, Oregon. And they are saying on this show that this pastor had defined the model of the church for our modern time. And the reason he had defined it is that he had come in and he had gotten involved in the politics of the city of Portland, Oregon. And he began to attend the meetings. He befriended the council members and the mayor. And then the whole point of the show was he became friends and he linked up, he partnered with the mayor of the city of Portland. And so because of that, they were, quote, ministering to the schools and ministering here and ministering. And then they have the mayor of Portland on. He starts talking, and one of the commentators said, "Now, you're not really a Christian, are you?" "Well, you know, I don't know, but I'm gay." Well, the whole point is here's the pastor in the church, and they've partnered with the city and the mayor is gay, and they're working together bringing all these sayings. And my question was, did you go into the schools and share the gospel of Jesus Christ? Did you go into the city council meetings and share the gospel of Jesus Christ? And it was all this, oh, we're just going to be friends and do things together. And then somehow this leads to salvation. This leads to the people being born again. Doesn't Paul say what commonality or what fellowship does darkness have with light? Am I misinterpreting it? If I am, somebody correct me. What fellowship does Belial, I think is the word to use, have with God or with Christ? How can we as the church league with... I don't see how it happens unless I compromise all my beliefs. I mean, I can love somebody. All right, I can't talk about sin. I can't define what sin is. I can't... Here, they did. What did they do? They did according to the abominations of the nations. You know, that's how we're going to worship. We're going to worship like the heathen worships. We're taking on, we're becoming the heathen. And that's acceptable to God? No. I'm sorry, again, that pathway is narrow. And you and I, if we claim to be Christians and we claim to believe the Bible, we are going to be haters. We are going to be, I suppose, racist in that. But it's not going to be easy. Right? It's not going to be easy. So here's Ahaz, and he's choosing the way of the world. Now, the other thing is, he's sacrificing his son, right? And I just thought that was interesting, because I would have a tendency to say that I would never sacrifice my son to an idol. But, you know, maybe in ways I have sacrificed my children on the altar of Moloch or Baal. I mean, let's be honest. What's the most important thing in my kid's life? Is it the church? Is it the Lord? Is it fellowship? Is it the Bible? Or is it something else? Basketball. It's more important. Sports, leisure, recreation. Or maybe it's just, again, just the great old American dream. I want my kids to have it better than I had, therefore I'm going to give them everything and just dump everything on them. And they don't know how to work. They don't know what it is to earn anything. They have no respect for anything. So maybe I have sacrificed my children. Certainly America has. And he sacrificed, verse 4, and burned incense on the high places, on the hills, and under every green tree. And so he was just, he totally was out there. Therefore, the Lord, his God, delivered him. And so here comes the correction of the Lord. Here comes, and in a way, it is a graceful thing. You know, God wants him to repent. God wants him to choose the right way. So the Lord, as God, delivered him into the hand of the king of Syria. They defeated him and carried away a great multitude of them as captives and brought them to Damascus. Then he was also delivered into the hand of the king of Israel, who defeated him with a great slaughter. For Pekah, the son of Remaliah, killed 120,000 in Judah in one day. All valiant men, because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. And that's what happens. You know, it's just bottom line. I get slaughtered when I'm not walking with the Lord. When I begin to forsake the Lord, I'm going to end up getting slaughtered. And that's the discipline of the Lord. That's can be the judgment of the Lord. But in so many ways, it's the grace of the Lord. Because maybe in me getting slaughtered, maybe I'll wake up. Maybe I'll repent. Maybe I'll realize that really wasn't the way to be walking. That really wasn't the wise choices that I should have been making. And so there's not success. Do you understand it? Ahaz, he didn't experience. Look at, I was thinking of Uzziah, who we just did last week, how he prospered. You know, every area of his life was prospering. Why? Because he was seeking the Lord, and he was seeking the Lord with all his heart. And so I know when I'm in turmoil, I know when things aren't going right, I know in my home if there's not peace, if there's strife, I know I need to get right with the Lord. I know I need to go back and say, okay, Lord, forgive me. I'm not walking with you in these areas. I know when I'm under all this pressure and it doesn't seem to matter how much I work, I still can't get ahead of the game. In fact, I don't even give to the Lord. Why? It's because I'm always buying. It's because I'm always spending. It's because my credit cards are maxed out. It's because I've just refused to discipline myself in that area. And so I know that what the Lord teaches is right. I don't know about you, but financial pressure like that is one of the worst things. Truly what the Bible says, that I have become a slave and I'm indentured to that bank or to that, entity. Wow, it's a hard thing. And again, Dobson used to say, I'm sure it's probably true, that finances was the number one cause, underlying cause for divorce in America. You know, the stress it brings and the heartbreak it brings. So, he's delivered. He's delivered into the hands of his enemies. And I just think, man, without the Lord, when I don't choose the Lord and the Lord's way, I'm just going to get beat up. And I might end up in bondage to the very things, right? I'm in bondage to that credit card. I'm in bondage to that payment. Once a month, I better pay it. Or eventually, they'll come after me. And so I can be in bondage to the very things that I think are going to set me free. What I didn't, and I think you can guess it, Judah had a pretty extensive army. But to trust in that is not going to work. Why? Because they're not walking with the Lord. I can, again, have a successful job. I can quote, have a picture-perfect family, but if I'm not walking with the Lord, it's not going to stand. It's not going to last. Those things, and we don't have to look far. We haven't heard, right? We haven't heard the results, or I haven't anyway, of the death of this prince. Now, I didn't know much about him, but he's a superstar, right? And so, he was flying around on his Learjet. They said he had to make emergency landing last week somewhere on his way home from somewhere. To have your own Learjet and be flying around, being able to do whatever you wanted to do. Hey, man, when they showed from the helicopter a picture of his house there, it looked like a city, right? That's where he spent his time up there in Minnesota, I think, Minneapolis. And you think, man, this guy had everything. Well, we'll find out whether he had everything or not. If he didn't have Jesus, he had nothing. So I don't know. But the fame, the money, that's where it's at. Look how happy they are. Most of them aren't happy. Was John Candy happy? Was Belushi happy? Was who's the other? Chris Farley. Now, these were happy guys. You see them, right? They make you laugh, right? All those guys, they were the major laughers when I was growing up, you know, 70s, 80s. They're all dead. Why? Because they weren't happy. They were trapped. They were, how sad. And so most of them, they would trick their brains by snorting a white powder, thinking, I'm happy. And that would just, you know, the more they used it, the more they'd have to snort it. And it just, wow, what a deceptive, what a false thing that is. You know, how many of us know people, I mean, I don't know so much those kind of guys, but alcohol, same thing. You know, it's going to make me happy. It's going to, man, I need this. I need it to relax. I need it to feel good. And they're just trapped by it. And then it kills you. That's what's happening here. The very things that they think, he thinks, his way of life is going to, no, it's all death. And so Zichri, a mighty man of Ephraim, killed Maaseiah, the king's son. So even the people around are dying. Azricam, the officer over the house, and Elkanah, who was second to the king. And the children of Israel carried away captive of their brethren 200,000 women, sons, daughters. They also took away much spoil from them and brought the spoil to Samaria. Wow! You know, not only is the army decimated and slaughtered, but then they're taken captives, the people, the men, the women, the children are taken. They're going to be made slaves. No freedom, no success. This is where it's coming. And that's where we're coming. There's no freedom. America isn't free. And who knows what the ending is? Only God knows. But I truly believe at some point in time we're truly going to cease to be a world power, to have influence. You know, the things that we look to for security and success, they're going to be gone. They could explode at any moment. How unstable things are. How unstable what we think as our economy is. So it could happen. You know, I think it will happen. But so what's happened? Ahaz is defeated. Judah is taken captive. Part of what God does, Israel. Aren't they their family, right? Israel's family. But even they're at war. And again, that's what happens. Man, whenever there's friction, whenever there's, you know, this in my family, I know. I'm not walking with the Lord. I mean, there's something, I'm not walking with the Lord. You know, don't blame it on the wife, the husband, the kids, grandma, grandpa, whoever. Look in the mirror again. This wouldn't be going on if Jesus was Lord and ruling in my home. So that's what happens. They're at war with one another. Now God comes and he's going to discipline Israel for the way they've done this. They've gone to war and then they've brutally treated their brothers and sisters in Judah. But a prophet of the Lord was there. His name was Obed. And I just like, God always has his voice. God always has his remnant. God always has. I mean, we have the Word. We have the Holy Spirit. Beyond that, I think he's got his prophets. He'll put people in my life. He'll put people in your life that will share the truth with you in a loving way. He went out before the army that came to Samaria and said to them, look, because the Lord God of your fathers was angry with Judah, he delivered them to your hand, but you abused it. You killed them in a rage that reaches to heaven. You've done this thing. And you could say, I think we could say, God used them to bring this upon, but their attitude, their heart, it was all wrong. And why? And sometimes when I bring correction to somebody, Paul tells us how to do it. That I should go and my heart should be, first of all, restoration. Not condemnation, not judgment, restoration. Then I should go in an attitude and a spirit. And that attitude of spirit is humility, gentleness, and meekness. You idiot, why would you ever do that? I would never do that, and I have never done that. No. Man, I understand. You know what? I'm one step away from doing that. Because I'm a man of like passions, and in the moment I forsake the Lord, the moment I become lifted up in pride, I could fall. I understand it. And now I'm going to pray with you, and I'm going to stand with you. What can I do to help you overcome? I'm your brother. I'm your sister. And I'm not judging you. I'm not looking down at you. And so, however, the prophet comes. You've done it. Now you propose to force the children of Judah and Jerusalem to be your male and female slaves. A lot of times we can do that. Purporting to help someone, purporting to, you know, share the truth. But you know what? I'm going to help you. Certainly I forgive you, but I'm going to hold you hostage the rest of your life. I'm going to continually remind you of how you have failed. I used to have this person. And we had our go-arounds. But they had a phrase. And it kind of left me like, what more can I do? What you have taken, you have put that knife right in my heart. And even after forgiveness, I don't know how many times I was reminded of that. Oh, you know, it is on my heart. Well, you're going to forgive. And we try and hold somebody hostage. That can be a huge thing in our relationships. You know, we don't have the capacity to forget. God might grant us that at times, like he did Joseph, but most of the time, no. But we got to forgive and not bring it up. And not hold that person hostage for the rest of their lives. Yeah, but I can remember you did this. And yeah, I know, geez. I thought that was under the blood. And we just bring it right out from being under the blood. So it's a major thing again. And so, you know, they were taking them captive. And God says, no. You don't do it. And what you've done's wrong. The fierce wrath of the Lord is upon you, and I think that's what happens. When I'm like this, then I mean, the Bible talks about it. You know, I in essence make myself a prisoner. And even other things, because I really haven't forgiven. Because if I had really forgiven, it wouldn't be an issue anymore. And then even a root of bitterness can begin to grow in there. And it's a dangerous thing. I'm not free. Then some of the heads of the children of Ephraim, Azariah the son of Johanan, Berechia, the son of, boy, what do they have these names? Mesasilamoth. I'm just going to zzz, 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 then you won't know, right? Jehizkiah, the son of Shalom, and Amasa, the son of Hadlai, stood up against those who came from the war. and said to them, you shall not bring the captives here, for we have already offended the Lord. You intend to add to our sins and to our guilt, for our guilt's great, and there is fierce wrath against Israel. So there are men left the captives and the spoil before the leaders and all the assembly. Then the men who were designated by name rose up and took the captives, and from the spoil they clothed all who were naked among them, dressed them and gave them sandals, gave them food and drink, and anointed them. And they let all the feeble ones ride on donkeys, so they brought them to their brethren at Jericho, the city of the palm trees, and they returned them to Samaria. And so they heed what the prophet says. That's kind of a neat thing, right? That they heed what the prophet has told them, and they don't take these people captive. In fact, they minister to them, and they return them to their brethren. Well, at the same time, verse 16, King Ahaz sent to the kings of Assyria to help him. Here's Ahaz, he's just on his path. Again, it's the broad one. And he's going to go to any length, any other source than the right source. Now he wants help, and so he's going to this heathen king. For again, the Edomites had come and attacked Judah, carried away captives. The Philistines had also invaded the cities of the lowland, south of Judah, taken Beth Shemesh, Ajalon, Jederoth, Succoth, with its villages, Timnah with its villages, and Gimzo with its villages, and they dwelt there. For the Lord brought Judah low. You see, there's reason for it. They've forsaken the Lord. Ahaz has led his nation away from the Lord in every way, shape, and form. For the Lord brought Judah low. You know, it's not always the devil. It's not always, you know, some thing just out there. It's the Lord. It's the Lord bringing things into my life. I'm not at peace. I'm not comfortable. And it's the Lord. The Lord trying to get me to repent in His grace and in His mercy. And so the Lord brought Judah low. Why? Because of Ahaz, king of Israel. You know, it is my fault. If my home isn't right, it's my fault. If there's friction in my home, it's my fault because I'm the pastor of my home. So, Kim's in my home. Ultimately, I'm responsible. So, Ahaz was responsible. He was the leader. God's looking at him and saying, you're the guy. I'm holding you responsible. I'll stand before the Lord someday, and I'm going to answer, did I teach you guys the whole Word of God? Who did I point you to? Did I elevate myself? Were you to follow me? Or did I want you to follow Jesus? Did I try and always push you to Jesus? Did I teach you the whole counsel of the Word of God? I'm going to give an accounting for that. You're not, because you're not the pastor. That's why it's serious stuff. I'm going to stand before the Lord, give accounting what I did in my home. Was I the pastor of my home? Every one of us is going to give an accounting. And again, we're all going to stand before the Bema Seat, right? And so God's holding him responsible. He'd encouraged moral decline in Judah and had been continually unfaithful to the Lord. Also, Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, came to him and distressed him and didn't assist him. For Ahaz took part of the treasures from the house of the Lord, from the house of the king, and from the leaders, and he gave it to the king of Assyria, but he didn't help him. Going to the wrong things, doing the wrong things. Again, you just see this progression. Nothing in the house of the Lord mattered. Nothing. Again, he had no heart for the Lord. And so we see at the end here how he takes the things out of the temple, and then he thinks, mistakenly, because this heathen has had success, and they worship at this altar, well, I guess I'll find success. He sends a guy in, looks at the altar, makes sure he knows, goes and builds, duplicates it, and has and begins to worship that way. Now, in the time of the his distress, King Ahaz became increasingly unfaithful to the Lord. Isn't that sad? Rather than, Lord, help me. Or even, Lord, I know I'm so ignorant, I don't even know what I'm doing. Could you show me? Help me here. No way. Probably blaming God. He became even more unfaithful to the Lord. He sacrificed to the gods of Damascus, which had defeated him, saying, because, this is it, because the gods of the kings of Syria helped them, I'll sacrifice to them that they may help me. But they were the ruin of him and of all Israel. Wow. You know, what am I looking to? What gods am I looking to? Man, Job over there, I see how he's doing it. Man, he's so successful. Look at all the stuff he's got. Joe, what are you doing? Well, I'm working, and hopefully I can get rid of Joe, who's ahead of me there at the office. In fact, I'm spreading some pretty good stories about him because I want to advance. I remember, this is my dad, but he's a farmer, okay? So farmers know how to work. And there came a time when they sold the farm because just so unprofitable. And the Lord worked out. He got hired at the state. I think at 10 o'clock they have their first break. I don't know. I can't remember. I know they had a morning break. Well, morning break, they play pinochle. Now, break's supposed to be 15 minutes. How are you going to play a game of pinochle in 15 minutes? Wow. They had a room they'd go to in the shop, and they had a popcorn machine in there. They'd play pinochle. And he gets so upset. And he'd come home and he'd, Jeff, I don't understand it. He says, I'm hard down there. I'm supposed to work. All they do is play pinochle. The 10 o'clock break's an hour break. And then they take lunch. And this was the thing. Every Friday, they never worked in that shop. They played pinochle. That was pinochle day. They played all day. That's the truth. They never played. They never worked every Friday. He just couldn't take it. And so ultimately, he actually got fired. Because he refused to. He'd get up and go. 15 minutes, he'd get up and go. And the boss was in there. Hey, what are you doing? He says, break is 15 minutes. I got to go. Like he was given, like, trim the shrubs. So he'd go out and he'd start trimming the shrubs. They got mad at him. He trimmed the shrubs one day or whatever. They gave him something to do. He did it like in an hour. And he came back and they jumped all over him. What are you doing? He said, I did what you told me to do. Oh, no. I tell you to do something, that takes all day. You don't just go do the job. That job takes all day. I mean, isn't that sad? I mean, that's where we are. But my point was, I forget my point. getting ahead. Yeah. Well, that wasn't my point, though. I get so upset thinking about it. Just doing what's right. Nobody wants to do what's right. Oh, I know what it was. That's what it was. You know, just, again, doing what's right. Why? Again, do we say we have to do these things? Even, again, the church. You know what? Businesses become successful. Why? They do a demographic study. What do you like? What do you like? What do you like? Okay, the church's got to become that now and attract them. That's what the world does. Just because a few years ago there was a whole thing running through the church, and I had people come in here and they say, what is your purpose? Great Commission, maybe? Go into all the world, preach the gospel, make disciples, baptizing in the name of the Lord. No, what's your purpose? A Great Commission, maybe? No, you have to have it written down somewhere. I said, I think it's written down? Matthew 28? And there's this whole thing, you know, you had to have a purpose statement, and this statement, and this statement, and this. Why? That's what business, you know, they have this business model. It's not necessarily the church model, right? And so, you know, walking that narrow road. Let's finish it. He sacrificed. Oh, that's what it was. God, you know, he thought this thing would help him. He thought that this false worship and this false God had helped these heathens, so he's going to adopt that method. Boy, we better watch the methods that we bring into the church, into our lives. So as gathered, it's real simple. Acts 2, verses 40, 41, 42. Just stay there. Matthew 5, Sermon on the Mount. Just stay there. That doesn't have to be. You know, Jesus took all the commandments, right, and reduced them to what? Love God half-heartedly when you have time and when you think about it. All right? That's what Jesus said. No. Love God with a heart, mind, soul, and strength. And I think that's all you got to do. Because if I do that, then I'll be loving everybody else. And he said, love your neighbor as yourself. It's pretty simple. And that's all I have to do. And I don't love people. That's why I don't share the gospel with them. I don't love people. That's why I don't want to get involved in their lives. I don't love people. That's why I don't have time for them. And the reason I don't love them is because I'm not loving God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. Simple as that. And so it just points to me. I just need to get more intimate with Jesus. And it all comes together. Ahaz gathered articles of the house of God, cut in pieces the articles of the house of God, shut up the doors of the house of God. Wow. You know, how many times, you know, I get involved in things and I shut the doors to the house of God. I don't have time anymore for prayer. I don't have time for Bible study. I don't have time for fellowship. I don't have time for youth group. I don't have time for a men's retreat. I don't have time. Geez, that's so hard. That's all. Oh, my. A whole day out of my life to just encourage other guys and spend time with the Lord. Oh, I could never do that. You know, he shut up the doors of the house of the Lord, made for himself altars in every corner of Jerusalem. In every single city of Judah, he made high places to burn incense to the gods and provoked to anger the Lord God of his fathers. Whoa, what a legacy. He was totally worldly, had nothing to do with the Lord, and at every turn forsook the Lord. Well, the rest of his acts and all his ways from first to last, indeed, they're written in the book of the kings of Judah and in Israel. So Ahaz rested with his fathers. They buried him in the city in Jerusalem. And they did not bring him into the tombs of the kings of Israel. And then this blows my mind. Then Hezekiah, his son, when we read about Hezekiah, you're wondering, where did this guy come from? Certainly he didn't get it from his dad. Certainly he didn't. I mean, Hezekiah is maybe the, if not the, certainly one of the two greatest kings that reigns. Totally loves the Lord and does so much. So what a contrast between his dad and his son. That gives me hope. Should give you hope. You know, maybe you've come from a background and you had no parental support. You had no elder support or whatever. Hey, just start loving Jesus. Start following Jesus. You can be a Hezekiah. Lord, help us. Help us learn from Ahaz. And next week then, boy, double, huh? Because we're going to do Hezekiah next Saturday. You get a double barrel blast of Hezekiah next week. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this example. Not a good one. But Lord, it can teach us so much. Sometimes it's good to look at what not to do, right? And Lord, certainly in Ahaz, we have that kind of an example. Lord, if there's any area of our life that's kind of Ahaz way this morning, Lord, forgive us. And Lord, we just want to turn and do what's right in the ways of the Lord. We want to walk with you in that area. Lord, we take responsibility. Fill us with your Spirit. Lord, we need your help. Enable us, Lord, this week to just continually draw close to you. Lord, to desire your presence. Lord, to put you in the forefront and in the middle of every life situation we come into. I know, Lord, that as we do that, we'll find satisfaction, success. Lord, we'll prosper. Our family will prosper. So, Lord, we pray that with your help, Lord, that would be accomplished this week. Again, Lord, in closing, we lift George up to you. Please touch him. Please help him. Lord, please heal him in Jesus' name. Amen.